Upper Room presents So You Want to Stay Married. Today's episode in this study of family life in the modern home is A Child Shall Lead Them, especially written and produced for The Upper Room by Carlton E. Morse, featuring Jeanette Nolan as Anne, Tom Collins as Arthur, and Dawn Bender as Shirley. When Arthur and Anne Wentworth were first married, there was grave uncertainty in their minds about children. Oh, yes, someday, of course. But right in the beginning...
Maybe I can explain it. Well, in the first place, Anne and I were so much in love, there just didn't seem any place in our lives for another human being. And on top of that, I was just out of the army, and I had a queer feeling that the world was all topsy-turvy, and I wasn't sure I wanted to bring another human being into the mess to face what might lie ahead. And then there was money. Oh, sure, I had a job, but there just wasn't enough money in the pay envelope every week to cover food and rent and all the other little necessities, let alone a few small pleasures for Anne and me. And then Anne was so young and beautiful and carefree.
You know, secretly in our hearts, we must have wanted our children most terribly all the time, without us quite realizing it. We must have because we spent so much time talking about why we shouldn't have them. If we had a nickel for every hour we spent trying to prove to ourselves that it wouldn't be fair to the children, we'd be very wealthy people.
And then it happened.
Yes, the whole thing was taken out of our hands. I honestly think that somehow God looked down upon our confusion and indecision and settled the matter for us. Not that either Arthur or I were very religious at the time. I mean, we'd both had religious training as children, but we'd, well, rather let things slip. I wanted to bring in the religious angle here because it seems so much a part of the coming of our children and what happened to Arthur and me and our home as our family grew. For instance, the night our first little girl came was the first time that Arthur and I ever prayed together. I was still pretty wan and shaky when they let Arthur come in to see me.
Anne, darling.
Hello, Papa.
Darling, darling.
I'm all right, Arthur. I'm all right.
I know. I know, and I'm so thankful. I want to thank somebody.
We could say a prayer.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
On earth
as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
With the coming of our daughter Shirley, we realized how silly and juvenile we'd been to ever think of not having children. It hadn't been a home at all. It had just been a selfish, self-centered place in which Anne and I had been too occupied with ourselves to ever think of other people. We expanded, we blossomed. It was almost as though our early married life had only been the tightly closed bud of a flower, whose beauty and perfume unfolded and pervaded the atmosphere only after we became parents. I thought Anne was beautiful before, but in the role of a mother, she opened floodgates of love in my heart that I hadn't even known were there. The miracle of bringing life in the world together does a strange thing to a man and woman. It deepens and enriches the soul. It's like deep, beautiful, moving organ music rolling down the corridors of heaven. Happens every time. After Shirley came Jimmy and then young Anne. And each time there was singing and rejoicing and the ringing of bells and hallelujah in our hearts. And I'm not forgetting the bad times either. That terrible night the doctor arrived at 4 o'clock in the morning and sat beside Jimmy's bed while the small, hot face burned with fever and the little body shivered in the agony of a life-and-death fight. I won't forget that night. Nor will I ever forget the morning when the fever broke. The battle was won. And Anne cried on my shoulder, in desperate relief at the goodness of heaven and saving her son. Oh, there, Anne. It's all right now. It's going to be all right.
I know. I prayed so hard. It was a miracle that saved him. The doctor said it was a miracle.
Thank thee, dear God, for answering Anne's prayer.
It seemed that at every turn, our children brought Arthur and me closer to our childhood religion. When they came, we felt called upon to give thanks for them. And then in their infancy, we turned toward our church for their christening and baptism and early training. Somehow, we couldn't disassociate our children from immortality and from the goodness and graciousness of a supreme being. It all seemed so much a part of the great plan, something beyond our poor knowledge, that our home became a religious home almost without us realizing it or knowing it. The sacredness of giving life gave added sacredness to our home, to the relationship between Arthur and me. When we were first married and only had our love for each other to tie us together, I often had qualms of losing Arthur. Other women seemed so much more attractive than I felt. I really felt an inadequacy within myself. I felt my hold on Arthur's love was so ephemeral that it might dissolve like the mist.
Is that why you used to ask me if I still loved you and kept wanting proof of my love?
Of course. I was unsure. Didn't you ever feel unsure of me?
Well, there were a couple of times. When the boss's son came home from Europe and made that big pitch in your direction.
Oh.
Yes, there were a couple of times when I had butterflies of fear around my heart.
Have you ever had that feeling since Shirley was born?
Not once.
And neither have I. Because in Shirley and Jimmy and baby Ann, we found meaning in our marriage. In proving to be dependable parents, we've proved to each other that we are likewise dependable helpmates.
I take it from this, Mrs. Wentworth, that you believe in children in the home?
There's no doubt of it, Mr. Wentworth. In fact, for me, children are the first in importance in making a marriage a success. Children are the bonds which go beyond words, vows, marriage certificates, or even the laws of man.
Are you talking about me, Mommy?
Oh, surely. Where did you pop from?
Oh, I heard you and Daddy talking in here, so I came in.
What, no kiss for your father?
Okay.
Oh, well, moist, but otherwise satisfactory.
Oh, look, what's the matter with my skate?
Oh, that was an accident.
It's broke. Look at the wheel.
Yes, darling, Jimmy was wearing them.
But they're my skates. He broke them.
Well, you can forgive your brother for an accident.
No, sir. I'm not going to forgive him forever and ever. He broke my skate.
Shirley, you mustn't say that.
Not ever, as long as he lives.
You don't mean that, Shirley.
But how can you forgive anybody for breaking your skates? Those are the only skates I've got, and I hate him.
Shirley.
What?
Come here. Every evening at the close of our little devotions here at home, we say the Lord's Prayer. Can you say it?
Look at my skates, Daddy.
I know. Can you say the Lord's Prayer?
Yes.
Say it for me. Please.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not...
Wait. Wait a minute.
That's right, isn't it, Mommy?
That's right.
But say that last again. Give us this day our daily bread. Then what?
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Uh-huh. Do you realize what you're saying?
I'm asking God to forgive me for what I do wrong.
You're asking more than that.
I am?
Well, aren't you? Forgive us the wrong we do as we forgive others who do wrong against us. Don't you see, Shirley, you've got to forgive Jimmy, because if you don't, then you can't ask God to forgive you. You won't even have the right to say the Lord's Prayer with us if you hold enmity in your heart against your brother.
But he broke my skate.
Well, and didn't you get into my shaving cabinet the other day and break my razor?
Yes.
And didn't you tell me you were sorry and didn't I forgive you?
Yes.
And weren't we both happier? I know I was. I forgave you and I know your mother forgave me for forgetting to bring groceries home from downtown. We forgave the neighbors for running their car across our lawn, and the neighbors forgave us for keeping them up late last week because our radio was on too loud. And it goes on and on. All our lives, we're forgiving other people, and they're forgiving us. Because we're all human beings. And human beings always seem to be getting into trouble where they need somebody to understand and forgive them.
Here, darling, take this handkerchief. Now, Jimmy's very sorry. And the skates can be fixed, you know.
I didn't know the Lord's Prayer meant that.
Well, then you've learned something rather wonderful, haven't you? Now you know that we can't even ask for forgiveness for ourselves when we refuse to give it to others. And it's so important. It may make a difference in your whole life.
I don't hate Jimmy.
Well, of course you don't. Say, he's out in the kitchen. Why don't you go tell him?
All right. I'd even kiss him, only he hates being kissed. Especially my sister.
Arthur, that was a wise, thoughtful way of handling that.
You know, Anne, I sold myself an idea while I was talking to Shirley.
You did what?
Children are good for people. You get down to fundamentals with them. You have to restate fundamental truths over and over, and first thing you know, they begin to seep into your own thick skull.
I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds interesting.
Well, as I was talking to Shirley about forgiveness, I just remembered something that's been happening down at the office. One of the salesmen's been getting in my hair, and I've been building up a grudge, a dislike for him.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. It just occurred to me that I could probably do a little forgiving myself. I hadn't thought of myself in just that light before.
Children are an education, they say.
Well, they say truly. An education in the fundamentals of living. You can't train a child properly without becoming a better person yourself.
And better people make better marriages. And, darling, that's what we're living. One of the better marriages.
Family ties in your home are uncertain and giving way. Family worship will help to strengthen them. Worship in the church of your choice and have daily devotions in the home. The church and the home are the basic rocks upon which the moral structure of this nation is built. They should be and must be one united foundation. Ask your pastor for devotional helps. Or send a postcard to The Upper Room, Nashville, Tennessee. Your announcer, Russell Thorson.